Hey, it's Bethany here with Dialed In. I'm so happy that you're listening today. Before we hop into this episode, I wanted to let you know about a new resource for this new decade. It is the Action Takers Resource Guide. So I know from experience that it can be so hard to know where to start. When you're thinking about making a change in your life, you know it's going to be uncomfortable and you know that it's going to take some time and dedication. And sometimes there's just so much information out there that it's hard to narrow down and choose a focus. So I've done that for you. In this resource guide, there's a complete list of all different kinds of things and ways for you to start. So here's how I want you to use this. Go to my website, bethanyclem.com. Simply enter your name and email. You get an immediate download of this resource. You can print it out. You can have it on your computer, but it takes you through all different steps to get to know yourself better. There's a list of podcasts that you can get plugged into. There are a huge amount of books here that you can start reading to help change your life. And there's even tools that can help you stay organized, among other things. Now, just pick one area. Just simply pick one area that appeals to you that you think, you know what, I could work this in to my daily routine, or I could work this into my routine 2 or 3 days a week. Pick one, get started. I'd love to hear how it goes. Let me know how you're doing. Let me know how you like the resource. And I can't wait to see how this year is amazing for you. All right, we'll get to the episode. Until next time, take action, live big, and enjoy Dialed In. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Dialed In. This is a broadcast where we focus on sharing real, actionable steps that you can implement immediately to help you live a big life. Our guest today is part of the Big Life series. Now, if this is your first time listening, I'm talking with people who are living life in a big way. When I say big, what I mean is that they are dialed in to who they are and they're living life using their gifts and talents, doing things that they love and making a difference in this world. Today's guest is Dusty Suela. Dusty is the owner of Panda Marie, which is a holistic therapy center that offers a judgment-free environment to help individuals be who they were created to be, naturally. Among the services offered at Panda Marie are yoga, mindfulness, nutrition coaching, and other natural therapies to assist with depression, trauma, migraines, PTSD, addictions, neck and back pain, anxiety, and, well, much, much more, but I promise we'll get into that. So for now, I'd like to welcome Dusty to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Bethany.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited for our listeners to hear your story and what you've done. I think, you know, just the short amount of time that I've had to be in your presence, you put others at ease. You help others walk through their pain, and you've used your story of pain and overcoming and walking through it to really help others get through theirs. I was so touched to hear just the small pieces of your story that you shared when I was at a retreat with you a few weeks ago. And I just want you to share what's on your heart today. Because what you're doing is living big. You're making an impact on people in ways that are completely transformational for them. So I'll stop talking and I'll let you share.
All right. Well, thank you once again for having me. And, you know, I think before I get started, I just wanted to remind everybody and anybody listening to this podcast that, you know, we're all perfectly made and we're all beautiful. So no matter what, you know, our past, what existed in our past, or maybe the guilt or that trauma that may exist, like, we are all beautiful and we're all perfectly made. And the other thing is that it's never too late to make a change, and we're never too old to make a change. So no matter what, where you're at in your circumstance, if you're at the lowest of your, you know, that hole that maybe you've dug into and you can barely see the light, there is still hope. So I think just throwing that out there. And also with my story, you know, it's, we all have a story, I feel, of course, we all have a story, but I feel that, for me, it has really helped me to heal. I still get, when I'm in front of people, I still get a little teary. And those tears that I sometimes shed, they're not because of pain anymore. It's really because of happiness, because I had some people, my higher power, ultimately, that has believed in me throughout this whole process. I had some guardian angels in my life, some people that never ever gave up on me and were always rooting for me and cheering for me and praying for me. So I'm very grateful for that, and just not to give up either. So anyway, my story, I'm going to start start back to I was a young, I was a daughter to two young parents, and I grew up in a home with three other, I have four siblings total, three siblings, which are biological. And we grew up, my parents were super young when they had me and my brother. So, in their teens. So they were still children themselves. So I think they were learning obviously on how to be parents. And, then they had my younger brother and sister, and, I don't know if they really knew how to be parents, but they were doing the best they could. So, my mom was a big drinker, which I remember at a very young age. And throughout my childhood, I had quite a bit of trauma, I feel. You know, just being just really low income, sometimes without electricity, sometimes without water. Sometimes we were the family some of the time with that people would donate to around the holidays. I remember standing in line at the Salvation Army for, you know, for cheese and stuff and peanut butter. And we often had lice. And anyway, just these little things that at the time I really didn't realize were not the best things. So as I grew up, I just kind of lived with them, and they were what they were. And we moved back and forth from Iowa to Arizona, and throughout that time, I had a woman, her name was Ellen, and my dad worked a lot on the road, and my mom was, unfortunately, an alcoholic, and Ellen, my guardian angel, would come and take care of me. She would take me to her place, and she did this with many, many children in her life, and she would get the head lice out of my hair and buy me clothes and wash my clothes, but she showed me unconditional love as unfortunately, I didn't really get that from my mom, but my dad has always showed me unconditional love. So he did the best that he could, I feel, for what he was dealt at that time. So I lived with Ellen for quite a few of my younger years in Arizona. And she, like I said, always showed me unconditional love. So then I moved back to Iowa with my dad in fifth grade, and he had been remarried, and I have a bonus sister, Stephanie, and things were good. We had a very great life at that point, and Ellen is still a great, great friend of mine. I still consider her my mom, and anyway, as part of my childhood, unfortunately, I experienced some physical abuse, some sexual abuse, and I think that part of the way that I felt maybe what love was sex. So I got pregnant at a young age, and I had my first child. I got pregnant at 15 and had my first child at 16, Austin. He'll be 24 this week, actually, a wonderful young man. And I got married to his dad, also a wonderful man, and we were together for quite a few years. And towards the end of our marriage, I guess it was about 27 or so, I had started drinking. So I worked this whole time in the operating room, and we lived a pretty good life. And I chose not to drink alcohol because of the addiction that within my family, with my mom, with her siblings, even with some of my dad's family also, it was just there. It was existent. A lot of these people on my dad's side, you know, they're functioning very much. And then unfortunately on my mom's side, a lot of them are not functioning. You know, they're in and out of jail, prison, you know, just making not the best choices. So I haven't seen my mom since I was about 13, and which she lives in Florida somewhere. And anyway, so it was a tough childhood. But then, you know, like I said, when I moved in with my dad, it was really good. I had my first child, Austin, and life was good. Jason and I, my ex-husband, were married, and we did the best that we could, and life was pretty great. Well, then about 26, 27, I found this new friend, and the friend's name was Vodka. And it got me really, really fast, and I made some pretty bad choices in my life and then got divorced. And then once I was divorced, Vodka was my friend. So for a few years, I tried to quit, but then my kids would go to their dads, I would be alone, and the vodka was my friend. It was always there. It helped me to forget, you know, the childhood trauma that tend to pop up, especially when I was drinking, and but then I would drink more, and then it would go away. So I went to my doctor on a couple different occasions, and one of the times I went to the doctor, I had said, "Can you please just prescribe me something so I can stop drinking?" I tried some AA meetings, and I tried, you know, a couple different ways to stop, and I couldn't. I tried just drinking beer. That didn't work. I would always end up drinking more vodka. And when I still function, a lot of people didn't realize the extent of my addiction. And I still work and took care of my kids when I had my children, so I was still, I feel, a decent mom, but I wasn't the best. I wasn't living my best life, and I wasn't being the best mom that I could be. So I went to my doctor, and he said, "Dusty, I can prescribe something for you, but unless you get some therapy and talk about your past and your childhood and, you know, some of the different traumas that you had experienced, you probably are not, this medicine isn't going to work for you." Mm-hmm. And I don't need that. I don't need to talk about it. It's in the past. I filed it away. Well, what that did was it started to manifest in me and grow and grow and grow. Well, I continued drinking. I tried, like I said, many, many things. I was hypnotized. I went to tons of probably 50 different AA meetings and got a white chip because I had drank and I couldn't stay sober. And then when I was 34, it came to a point where I had kind of a bender weekend, and we had a family event, and I had really went out of control. And that Sunday, the family event was on Saturday, I drank all day Sunday, and then still was feeling like garbage on that Monday. And I was like, "Oh, I'm going to stay home from work." So my husband went to work, and I was supposed to pick Noah up from school. And after my husband had left for work, I went to the local gas station and the nearest gas station, and I picked up a couple pints of vodka. And that's usually what I did, is I would drink, you know, 1, 2, or 3 pints of vodka a day. And that day I had drank 3 pints of vodka and went back to sleep, which is not... I mean, I blacked out, and then at 3 o'clock, I woke up and remembered that I had to go get Noah from school. Well, by, I think it's a miracle today, I couldn't find my keys. So I laid back down on the couch and thankfully fell back asleep, but Noah sat at school waiting for me. So he did get a hold of my husband, and finally at 5:30 or so, they came home, and Noah was upset with me because I had not picked him up from school, and he was sitting there the whole time waiting. And my husband was mad at me because he knew at that point when he saw me that I had been drinking, even though I told him I wasn't going to drink that day. And then Noah could tell that I had been drinking when he gave me a hug, when he walked in the door, and then he went back into his room. And one of the things that Noah used to do when he knew I was drinking heavily is he would go back to his room and he would pray his rosary. And that's what I saw him doing that day. And then my husband came to me and he said, Noah doesn't want to be here tonight. He wants to go to his dad. And I knew that Noah was upset with me. And so Robert took him over to his dad's house. And Noah didn't want to stay with me really anymore if I continued to drink. So that was on that Monday. I stayed home again that Tuesday, and I had prayed many, many times and for some help. And thankfully, you know, my husband and I talked that night when he got home, and I was still kind of out of it. And then that next day we talked again, and he said, I'm afraid for a couple things. First off, for your life, that I'm going to find you dead, because I literally would chug vodka. And it was starting to affect me physically as well, like my taste buds, my kidneys hurt. I mean, it was just not good. And but he said also, like, your boys aren't going to want to be here. So Austin and Noah, you know, were with me half the time, 50-50, and I wasn't being a very good mom or wife or friend, and I wasn't living my best life. So Robert went to work on that Tuesday, and I stayed home. And most of the day, I would say that I prayed and asked how I can get better. And on Wednesday, so Tuesday, I made an appointment. I called a local rehab center, but I was shameful, so I didn't tell anybody. I didn't tell Rose or anybody. I just said I'd been sick, and I went into outpatient rehab. So that was the last. That Monday was the last drink I had, and it's been now a little over 5 years, which I'm very, very grateful. And I feel that by the grace of God, by the love of my children and my spouse, and it also took a little bit of willpower on my own, but that want and that need to change. You know, I couldn't imagine not having my boys in my life. They were my entire life. And you know, I went into rehab. My counselor was a male, and at first, you know, I sat down with him. My arms were crossed because I needed to be there. I don't know if I really wanted to be there. I knew I needed to be there. I wanted to change, but I didn't want to have to go through that storm of feelings and have to face my past, and also to talk through some of those things, because it's hard. Like, so, but I knew I needed to change. So I sat down with him, and I had my arms crossed, and I was kind of had a snotty look on my face, and he said, Dusty, uncross your arms and listen to what I have to say. So I did, and he went through a little bit of the chemistry, a lot of the chemistry, with my neurotransmitters in my brain and how alcohol works, and, you know, having just my bloodline of, you know, family and Native American in my life, and how that can have an effect, how the trauma from my childhood can have effects. My mom's an alcoholic, all of her siblings, you know, all these different things, being a young mom, you know, all these different things that could be part of it. But he said it doesn't have to be that way. And to me, that is a statement that has stuck with me. It doesn't have to be that way. And I decided that day, like, okay, I'm going to go through this. I'm really going to work at it. I worked through the steps, you know, the 12 steps. I still went to some AA meetings, but I had outpatient recovery a couple days a week. And he was my counselor through the whole process. And, you know, 6 months outpatient. And I had, throughout that process, I never told anybody except my husband and my kids that I was going through that, because I had tried so many times before and failed. And I wasn't certain that I was going to be able to stay sober. So finally, about 6 months, 8 months or so, I told my dad, who I have a wonderful relationship with, around a year, I told my work. And also with that, is a big part of that was being judged, as I, you know, wanted to put on this big facade that my life was great. And, but it really, it was in kind of in shambles there for a little bit. And nobody knew this life that I was living. So now I share my story and hope that, you know, I can maybe be maybe a beacon of light for somebody else, that they can see that there is hope, that you can make changes. So that's, and now, and so I went through recovery, and one of the things that my therapist and my counselor had said was to jump into yoga and meditation and mindfulness. And, you know, I had done yoga in the past really for kind of a workout, not necessarily to work in. And I jumped into that and went through some different training, got my yoga certification. And then I started, I also did some other therapies called craniosacral therapy, which can help just with mental clarity and chronic pain and migraines, all sorts of different things. But I did quite a bit of that. Just tons of meditation, tons of yoga, and really connected with my higher power. And I've been able to now offer this to others through my work. So throughout that whole process, I worked in the medical field, and I was a resource for a lot of people. And I helped people with nutrition, and I worked in the operating room. And then this, now with my business called Panda Marie. So my name is Dusty, but my parents, one of the options was Panda. So that is where the Panda Marie of my business name comes from. And my tagline and motto is really living the life you love naturally. So, and whatever that means to you. So that's what I'm doing now. And I'm honestly living my best life. I have a great relationship with both my children, with my dad, still with Ellen, with my husband. And life is not all rainbows and butterflies, but it is very much a majority of the time very good, because I'm able to be more mindful of my actions, of my words, of my thoughts. And I feel I'm living a very, very blessed life. And I also get to help others, to help them realize just how beautiful that their life is. So it's pretty amazing. I had somebody just recently ask me what's the best part of my job. And I like to work, so I don't feel like this is a job. But it's really seeing somebody, you know, when they get that, almost that click in their minds, like, oh my gosh, I am living a healthy lifestyle, and I want to make this change. It's really seeing them want to make that change. And then when that switch is changed, and then they start making it, and they're doing it on their own. You know, I'm walking beside them and offering them support and motivation, but they're doing it all themselves. So life is definitely about living, and, you know, every single day, even if it's cold and snowy, it's a beautiful, beautiful day. So that's my story.
That's big.
Yes.
Yeah, wow.
I know a big story.
That's so impactful, and it's so brave of you to be able to share that. I know that for me, that's probably something I'll never forget about meeting you for the first time, is just your vulnerability and sharing. And I love that as you share your story, at least for me, I can see a thread of people. Like you call them your guardian angels, but that were there for you, and they were a safe spot for you.
Yes.
From Ellen, and it sounds like you and your dad have a great bond, and then your therapist that was safe. And I think it's really important that we have those people that are safe for us. And I'm sure I know that's exactly what you provide for people at Panda Marie.
I hope to. Yeah, it's definitely a judgment-free, safe place. You know, to me, it doesn't matter what somebody looks like or what their demographics are. Like, we're all one. Like, it doesn't matter to me. Any of that stuff does not matter. Like, let's just be nice to one another, be kind to one another, because we all have a story and we all have something that we're going through. So when anybody comes in here, I think they can feel it, that I try to welcome them as much as possible with open arms, and once again, free from judgment.
I love it.
Yeah.
For my listeners, I know they're probably chomping at the bit to know where you're at and how they can get in touch with you. And I have people that are in 10 different countries that listen to this podcast. So maybe you share physically where Panda Marie is located, but then also, are there ways that people can connect with you online?
Yes, yes. So I am located in Hiawatha, Iowa. So Cedar Rapids, just a little suburb of Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And I now currently see people nationwide or talk to them nationwide. We can do, you know, video chat, phone chat, because I do life coaching and just help people. I'm hold space for people so that they can share, and then I can offer them some guidance. And sometimes they figure it out for themselves as just talking through it. So, but yeah, video chat. My phone number is all on my website. My website is naturallyfeelingbetter.com. And my phone number and all my information is on there. And my email is dustysuela29@gmail.com. And I am totally open for anybody and everybody. If you have questions or would like some support or just a little bit to dive in a little bit deeper into their journey and move through it, I'm here to help.
I love that. So, Dusty, for people that that maybe weren't able to write all this down, I will put it in the description of the podcast, so that way you can just refer back to that, and then they'll be able to get in touch with you. And I'll put your website address and your email in as a link in the description. I'm just making a note of that now. I always like to wrap up with some teaching points here, and I pulled out three different things from what you said, but I don't want to cut you off if there's anything else on your heart. And so if there's anything else that you want to share with people that would be listening, I'll give you a minute to share that.
Okay. So do you want to go first and then I'll share whatever you don't?
That'd be fine. Okay. So the three teaching points that I pulled away from this, and there could be 103, honestly, at this point, but number one, we are all beautiful and perfectly made. Number two, it's never too late to make a change. And number three, you have to work on the inside in order to have impact on the outside.
Yes, yes. Those are all great things. And I think also to, you know, find those guardian angels. I think a lot of us have those in our lives, and to continue to be grateful for the many blessings that we have. You know, daily we have, you know, there's 100,000 blessings that we're blessed with every single day. So to continue to be grateful for those things and those people that continue to support us as well, I think that's a big part of it. But also not to be afraid to ask for help. That was probably the biggest thing for me. Why I didn't? Because I was, at that time, I was working in the medical field. And I was like, what are they going to think if, you know, because I'm going to be in that system. What if somebody searches my name and sees it? Well, with that, you know, that's, first off, people don't do that, but it was just a fear of mine. They're going to judge me. And, I had to ask for help. I couldn't do it on my own. And now I have this huge support system of guardian angels all around me, you know, supporting me and, you know, just cheering me on. So it's definitely not hard to, it's great to ask for help, but also there's times, you know, there were many, many times where I relapsed, and but I got back up, and I, you know, this was in my early 30s, you know, I kept trying, and there were lots of things that didn't work, but there was that one, and you know, it was having to finally go through rehab and come to terms with it and talk about it. So that's what I have. And life is pretty beautiful. It's very beautiful, but we just have to sometimes get through that storm to see the beauty in it all.
Absolutely. Wow. Thanks again for being here, Dusty. I really appreciate your time. And I know that you've given a huge amount of value and you've dealt some significant doses of hope today to our listeners.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for having me. And it's been a joy getting to know you and to meet you. I'm so happy. I don't feel that people are in our lives by chance. So definitely very blessed to have met you, Bethany.
Yeah, I agree. Likewise. I think every meeting has a purpose. So,
yeah.
All right. Thanks everyone for listening today, and don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And until next time, take action, live big, and stay dialed in.